This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do it.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I told you guys yesterday that people looked at this game, the Steelers and the New England Patriots, and oh, God, terrible offenses, two not very good teams. This doesn't matter. What a lousy Thursday night game. But I told you there was a really good reason why you should watch the game. And I said there were a lot of fan bases that were very interested in this outcome. Because the Steelers that were holding on to a playoff position, they were the fifth seed in the AFC at 7-5. And there were a lot of teams at 6-6, including the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills, teams that were 7-5 with the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland Browns, all very interested in what was going to be happening Thursday night in Pittsburgh. If the Steelers win the game, they solidify a spot. They continue to hold on strongly to a playoff spot in the AFC. And if they should lose, it would open the door up to another conversation about the playoffs and everybody that is fighting for one of those three wildcard spots. And so this morning, there are a lot of fan bases who are glad that the New England Patriots did pull off a 21-18 victory against the Steelers. Now, I could go into the New England Patriots with Bailey Zappe and three touchdowns in the first half, and it's still a very solid defense, but that's irrelevant. They are 3-10. They are going to be picking near the top of the draft. The Steelers are the big story. And the Steelers are a problem because they are now a disaster. Mike Tomlin is a very protected coach in NFL conversations. And the reason is that he always has a winning record. He may not have the best record. He may not always get the Steelers to the playoffs, but the Steelers never have a season that gets completely thrown away. And that is a remarkable accomplishment for somebody who's been on the job for 17 years. But the reality is he's not immune to criticism, especially single-game criticism. And I think that is, to me, where the conversation about Mike Tomlin needs to be. Doesn't mean you have to blow things up. You can have a problem, for example, in your marriage. You can have an argument with your wife or husband, but it doesn't mean you guys are seeing lawyers. You just need to work out whatever problem it is you're arguing about. It's the same thing in any relationship. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in the conversation when it comes to Mike Tomlin. People say, I don't really like the way Mike Tomlin is running this team, or he's sticking with this too long, or he's sticking with that guy too long as a coordinator or quarterback or whatever it is. And people go, well, what do you want to do, fire him? No, we don't want to fire him. We want a better Mike Tomlin. And that's the way the Steeler fans are. Look, there was some chance last night to get Mason Rudolph in the game. And I understand why Tomlin wouldn't do that. He's not a knee-jerk reaction guy. He hasn't been in 17 years. He doesn't pull the trigger quickly. He doesn't freak out. He lets things flow. And Trubisky, to his credit, played a little better in the second half than he did in the first half when he started 2-for-10. But the reality is that Tomlin is in a position with his coaches to trust them so much, and he believes in his own ability to grade these guys, that it took a long time for them to fire Matt Canada. But when they did, you knew that the offense wasn't going to get any better than it was previously because you weren't putting in a brand new system. You were going to bring in a new play caller. And that play caller for the Steelers is Mike Sullivan. He's the quarterback's coach. And he had a horrible game because there were too many opportunities, including one particular play that had me scratching my head all game. They don't have a rhythm offensively. Now, the Steelers spend a fortune on defense. You look around on all of those guys that they have on defense, including T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Alex Highsmith, who left the game with a neck injury, Cam Hayward, all of those guys. They're expensive. They spend over $111 million on the defensive side alone. That means there's not a lot of money on the offensive side. And the Steelers have a problem because this is a league about offense. Even though a good defense can fix a lot of your problems as a team, it is not going to fix everything in a league that is geared towards offense. And that's what that is what is starting to crack in this team. This team was 7-4 a week ago, less than a week ago. It was 7-4. And it was in a very good position to be 9-4. You want to know how good that is? The guys that are leading the AFC are 9-3. It would put not only Pittsburgh in the playoff picture, it would put them in the running to win the division. That's how critical these two games were in a span of 5 days. And it just so happens that the NFL scheduling gods bestowed them 2-10 football teams. Here are two teams that can't figure themselves out. Good luck. Here you go. Feast on these guys. Imagine the conversation this morning if the Steelers had won their second game against these bad teams and they were 9-4. It would still be, how are they going to do this with Mitch Trubisky? How are they going to do this with an offense that can't score? How long can the defense continue to do it? But you'd be having a conversation about one of the solid record teams in the AFC, even if you didn't believe them. So in reality, this is probably where they should have been all along. The problem is how the sausage is made. In the end, the Steelers are 7-6 because they lost two games to two teams with two wins on the record books before they entered the game. Instead of the Steelers losing to, let's say, Baltimore or Cleveland and making, well, they're 7-6, but if you look to who they lost to better teams. No, they beat the Ravens. They've beaten the Browns twice. Right? They have been in a position where they are beating these teams and then going, okay, here's Arizona, here's New England, and they throw up on themselves. I'd love to extol, if I was in New England right now, I would be talking about Bailey Zappe and his first half performance. Why didn't the Patriots score any in the second half? And is this still a problem, et cetera, et cetera? Or I might even be saying, why the hell are we winning football games when we can have the number one pick in the draft? Isn't this going to hurt us in the end? I'd probably have those kind of conversations. But in the AFC, where this particular football team, the Steelers, are critically important to how the AFC playoff picture is going to be designed, it's mostly about them because they were in the driver's seat. They had a very good AFC record. This would have improved it. They would have been able to beat tiebreakers against teams they're looking down on right now. But the reality is Mike Tomlin and this team believes in its own hubris. They believe in their own outstanding ability to be in this business, and it hurts them. The Steelers have never, ever been a team that ever tried to replace Ben Roethlisberger the way you are supposed to replace an aging quarterback. They gave him tremendous respect to never bring in his replacement the entire time he was there. It was never going to be Mason Rudolph. It was never going to be Landry Jones. It was never going to be Josh Dobbs. It was never going to be anybody else. They waited for Ben Roethlisberger to be done. And then when he was done, they went, and now we need a quarterback. Look at the way Aaron Rodgers got to Green Bay. Look at the way Jordan Love got to Green Bay. That was an organization that could see the ending way before the player they were trying to replace. And yes, it caused problems. Yes, it caused some issues. Sure. But I think if you're Ben Roethlisberger and you have a laundry list of injuries and you can see the finish line as well as the team can see the finish line, I think they were better off figuring out how to get his replacement before. This is a team that could have drafted Jalen Hurts, but instead they drafted Chase Claypool. This is a team that waited in the tool. They needed a quarterback to go into a draft where the quarterback roster was very, very thin. You know who were the top quarterbacks the year they drafted Kenny Pickett? Well, it was Kenny Pickett in the first round who was the only one. Then it was Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis. Those were the guys that were available that year. And that happened to be the year the Steelers were looking for the next franchise guy. So the organization has never, ever looked at itself from a future standpoint because they were worried about what it would mean to Ben Ben Roethlisberger hurt his elbow in 2019, has never been the same. Has never been the same. If you remember the 2020 wild COVID year, I think they were 11-0. They were the worst 11-0 team in the history of the National Football League. They were really doing it with smoke and mirrors. They were 11-0, but they were terrible. I mean, they were not consistent offensively. Roethlisberger couldn't throw 10 feet in front of him. And by the time they ended up in the playoffs, they lost to the Browns. And then in his final year, they managed with Band-Aid tape, MacGyver glue to get into the postseason on, I still have no idea, wing and a prayer, only to get blown out by Kansas City. But it was still a remarkable achievement in Roethlisberger's final season. But the reality of it is when it was time to turn over the reins and give the ball to the next person, there was nobody to give the ball to until the draft. So that's been the issue. I don't blame Mitch Trubisky for being terrible. He's not a good quarterback, right? All night last night, how many times did Al Michaels say, too high, too high, too high? He throws it over everybody's head.
I think Al Michaels just recorded it and just hit it as a sounder.
Absolutely. The whole night. The whole night. So on fourth and two, they throw a deep ball to Deontay Johnson. That was the play call? And the other thing, too, was you could see it. Mitch Trubisky is running for a first down. Now, don't get me wrong. Players don't have the bar. They don't have the digitally imposed first line marker, right? So they can't see it. So maybe he really thought that's where he had to go. That was the line of gain. That's where he had to be. But he slid 2 yards before the line of gain. Don't tell me he didn't know he didn't have it. He jumped up and started acting like he had it, but he knew he didn't have it. That wasn't an inch short. That wasn't a yard short. That was 2 yards short. And then they went for it. They went for it. They didn't need to go for it. So they get the interception. Michael Walker gets the interception. And then they turn it into 0 points. Whereas at least the Patriots, when they got their interception and started at the 11-yard line, they at least got 7. Right? The Steelers could have kicked a field goal and been down 8. An 8 they ended up getting later in the game. But my goodness, it was all night decisions like that that have to go on the shoulders of Mike Tomlin. In a game where you know your defense is holding them to 21 points, where they're not really showing you anything in the second half, why wouldn't you make it an 8-point game? I get it if you're going up against Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen or anybody else that can put up points quickly. But you're not. You're going up against Bailey Zappe and a Patriots team that scored way more points in that game than they had in a month and a half. And instead, we'll try to go for it on fourth down with a little pitch pass that doesn't go anywhere. And then we have to turn it over on downs. Terrible.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. A little scheduling change. We are going to be doing our NFL schedule preview coming up in this hour. So we're going to go over all of the games that are going to happen this weekend and give you the value, why it matters, why it may not matter, and some of the inside information on games. We don't give you who we think is going to win if you're first time listening to that. We just kind of go over the games and preview them as best we can. A little quick, fun preview. That is coming up this hour. So still talking about Thursday Night Football as the Patriots win 21-18. And for the Steelers, two devastating losses to Arizona and New England, both two-win teams. It doesn't mean they're out of the playoffs, by any means, but man, this team just doesn't look ready to finish out the season on a strong note. They are actually in complete and utter turmoil. There is every quote after the game last night was negative and angry and bitter. People need to understand the work that needs to be put into this. Players are complaining that they're not getting the ball. It's just a really, really disastrous look for the Steelers, but you could see it coming. I mean, you could see it coming. I mean, it's been brewing for quite some time. So, but I will say this I have to separate myself as a Steeler fan to a Steeler analyst. As an analyst, I think we need to be honest here. Yes, the schedule circumstances are the way they are. Okay. I mean, the Steelers had a chance to be 9-4. Okay, that's just the way it is. And I'm never going to take a win away from anybody. I said earlier that they had beaten the Browns twice. They did not. They lost to the Browns in the second game at Cleveland. They had beaten Cincinnati the following week. So I mentally confused both of those two. But nevertheless, they still have a win against the Browns. They still have a win against the Ravens. Here's the biggest thing about this team. Has this team ever looked like a 9-4 football team at any point this season? Kenny Pickett, no Kenny Pickett. Have they ever looked like that? No. So as an analyst, I will say this. I get it if you are a fan, like the second part of me is, that is upset that they've lost 3 of their last 4 games. That they've lost 2 games to 2 2-win teams that should have never happened. And you are what your record is. But this is a 7-6 football team. That is about what this is. So again, if I were in that locker room, I would say we've got problems, but I would say we need to start now and focus on Indianapolis, a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals team, and then on the road at Seattle and Baltimore to close out the season. And if we get four wins, that gives us 11, and that should be good. If we get three, that gives us 10, and that should be good. But the real problem with this team is, as I said earlier, everything is coming home to roost for this team that never figured out how important it is to make sure you have your quarterback. There were people that were critical of the Kenny Pickett draft pick. Not, yes, we get it. He could be a great quarterback. You don't want to make the Dan Marino mistake. He's local. He knows the building. He knows the fans. The fans know him. There are a million reasons to take Kenny Pickett. But in reality, the problem is when you take Kenny Pickett in the first round, you have to make sort of like an Arizona Cardinals decision, right? Where the Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen, and then when they had an opportunity to take Kyler Murray, said, you know what? We're just not in on Josh Rosen anymore. The opportunity came for us to get somebody better, and we're going to get somebody better. And it came when Cliff Kingsbury came in and whatnot. But the Steelers need to be able to do that. They need to be able to say, look, we tried the kid. We tried the local guy. We gave him a first round pick. We made him the starter as soon as we could. But the reality is if we have an opportunity to get somebody better, we have to get somebody better. And I don't know, and I don't trust, again, the hubris of Tomlin and the coaching staff to make an admission that they've made a mistake. He ride or dies with so many coordinators over the years. Again, there have been tons of coordinators that people have wanted Tomlin to fire, that he's waited and waited and waited and waited, and then in the offseason let go. He never fires him during the midseason. That's why the Canada decision was so great, because they never do that. So whether it was Keith Butler or a whole bunch of others that have come and gone over the years, there have been plenty of people who have pointed the fingers at coordinators for being not very good, and Mike Tomlin hangs with them a little bit too long. So I think he could do the same with Kenny Pickett. Now, if it wasn't his decision on Kenny Pickett, if it was somebody else's decision, whether it was ownership, general management, whatever, then maybe Tomlin can convince Omar Khan, we got to go get this guy in the draft. This is it. We've got to get a new quarterback. But that's what you're seeing in the offense of the Steelers, an emphasis on making sure that the defense is paid, everybody's taken care of, and the offense suffers. But nevertheless, it was a good win for the Patriots. I don't know why they want to win football games, but they want to win football games, and that was a good win for New England. Bailey Zappe, 3 touchdowns. Hunter Henry was 2 touchdown catches on his birthday, nonetheless. Ezekiel Elliott had a touchdown. The defense was good. The defense was really good. We knew that going into the game because they held the Chargers to just 2 field goals, and they just couldn't score, but they were keeping teams below 10 points or below in like their last few, like 4 games. But they were opportunistic. And, Mitch Trubisky is not a world beater by any means, but they had an interception that was called back for defensive holding, and then they had another interception that was dropped. But they did a really good job of blanketing the receivers. The 4th and 2, when the Steelers went deep, I hate to say this because I like to think that coaches in this league are smarter, but that looked to me like a let's hope we get a pass interference penalty. Like, and if you're disciplined and you stay disciplined, especially on 4th down, where I don't get crazy here. Don't do something ridiculous. Don't grab a jersey. Don't go at it too soon. We're just going to get the ball. We're going to make this play stop. And the quarterback isn't really capable tonight of hitting his receiver like that. And by the way, I hate this. I see this more and more. It's not just happened last night. I feel like this is a trend. More on 3rd down than 4th down. But like on 3rd down, you see this a lot. 3rd and 1, and they go deep. And you go, why are you going deep? Just get the 1st down. I would have liked in that moment when it was 3rd and short for the Steelers to try to run the ball, even though the Patriots' run defense is really, really good. Just to see if you can open up something. Maybe you catch a break and be able to pick up a couple of yards. But on 4th and 2, you've got to be more creative than sending Deontay Johnson on man-man coverage and hope for a pass interference, because Trubisky ain't delivering in that. I mean, he's just not. He wasn't doing that the whole game. His touchdown to Deontay Johnson in the end zone was nice, but that was about the only throw he made that was nice.
No, I think his only option probably, high percentage pass for Mitch Trubisky would have been like a little swing pass.
Right.
Something short that a guy, can run and fight for 2 yards.
Yeah. Just get the – like, because, again, the big moment in the game the big swing in the game happened when the Steelers were punting and they were called for offsides with the, with the center moving his head up. They called it an abrupt movement, but it wasn't. It was rather smooth, and it drew the Patriots offsides, and so much that Allen and Kirk Herbstreit, even after the official had pointed out that the penalty was against the Steelers, still believed it was against the Patriots until they had to, somebody told them, because they were showing a video of the punter celebrating and all of that. They went, oh, no, this is actually against the Steelers. And then after the punt, they brought in their rules official and they went over it. That was the critical point of the game. But remember, the Steelers got the ball back. And they that's where they turned it over on downs. They forced a punt. They lost time on the clock, but they did get the ball back. So the idea that this changed the game is to believe that the Steelers would have been able to drive down the field after the penalty to put them in a position to kick a field goal to tie the game. And many people in that stadium last night did not really feel like that was going to happen, because when they had the ball, again, to try to drive down the field and kick a game-tying field goal, they failed on fourth and two. So, like, let's not give the benefit of the doubt to the Steelers' offense that they were going to be able to do anything with their possession. They didn't. They really weren't all night. They had a good series where they got the interception. They went down to near the goal line. They failed on fourth down. It was turned over. They made a good stop. They blocked the punt and got the ball back, and then scored and then got the 2-point conversion. That was probably their best series. Had they kicked a field goal there, we'd be talking about a different game. I love aggressiveness, but in a low-scoring game where you know it is a low-scoring game, please, please get as many points as you can, even if it hurts. When you walk away off that field going, we're kicking a field goal, we should have had a touchdown, we should have, get over it and get the 3 points. In a game like that, get the 3 points. That's where I thought they made their biggest mistake. There were two huge mistakes in that game. One was going for it on fourth down near the goal line in a points game. The second one was the fourth and two call down, shot down the sideline, trying to go for the big play. Dumb, dumb. When was Mitch Trubisky ever going to give you a big play like that? Never. Know your players, right? Know your players. That was my biggest problem. Don't try to put a square peg into a round hole. He's not going to hit, in that coverage, he's not going to hit Deontay Johnson for a pass. You need to know that and do something that fits him better. Stop trying to force things that aren't going to happen. We're going to go through all the games in Week 14, starting on Sunday afternoon, and we will get you an idea of why all of it matters with the playoff picture and everything coming up. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got again a lot to get to because the NFL is going into Week 14 with this weekend's game. And oh, by the way, there's a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. And as we said, you know, this is what happens when ESPN buys a bunch of rights. They go, hey, we need a lot of games. And they go, all right, you know what we'll do is we'll give you two going on at the same time. They're like, all right, it was not really what we wanted, but we'll take it. If you're still looking for some amazing gifts at Total Wine & More, I found the best gifts for everyone on my list, including a single-barrel bourbon for my father that he'll love. With lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia, North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, are we ready to go with the NFL schedule for Week 14? I think we are. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as they'll be hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is an NFC South clash. The Atlanta Falcons are 6-6, and they are on top of the division by one game over both New Orleans and the Buccaneers. The Falcons are actually looking for their first three-game win streak since 2019. The Buccaneers trying to get right back into on top of the division, because the only way any of these playoff teams will happen is if they win the division. They are also trying to avoid the season sweep. They lost to the Buccaneers back in Week 7. They lost to the Falcons, I should say, in Week 7. So anytime the two, anybody plays in the NFC South, it's important. It's just not great. So there you have it. It's not like another divisional matchup that we'll be talking about later on in the segment. but this could be first place in the NFC South with the Buccaneers and the Falcons at 6-7, if that were to be the case. Or the Falcons could just extend their lead. All right, let's move on. The Bears and the Lions. How about the Chicago Bears at 4-6, taking on the Lions that are 9-3? The Lions are kind of cruising right now. They've got a very comfortable lead in the NFC North. They lead by 3 games over the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers, who are coming along strong. The Bears, they're still in evaluation mode with Justin Fields, right? They're still looking.
Yeah, but how long?
They're going to play for the rest of the season.
Well, I get that, but I mean, is this
well,
it?
That's how long. You asked how long.
No, I know, but I mean,
season.
This is it, right?
I'm hoping.
Yeah, they either know to either bleep or get off the pot with this.
We will know in April when they pick Caleb Williams with the number one pick in the draft.
That is true.
We will figure that out when they get to April. Because they probably won't say a thing until then. But I don't know. Maybe they will. Who knows? How about the Bengals and the Colts? Very interesting game here.
Yeah, it is.
Because I want to see, like, Jake Browning part 3. Because he had part 1 where he didn't play well. Part 2, he played really, really well. And now part 3, where he's got a lot of confidence and the team believes in him and whatnot. Against a Colts team that's 7-5 with Gardner Minshew. And they're very much in the playoff hunt. And now even more so with the Steelers down, they could move up a little bit. This is a very interesting playoff implicated kind of game.
I would have said prior to Monday night, we would have been like, this is a walkover for the Colts.
Yeah.
You know, with the way Jake Browning played, it was like, all right.
He played really well.
This could be good. It could be fun.
Played really well. And again, the Bengals have a lot to overcome. Conference record is not good. And if it looks like it's coming down to conference record, it is not good. But you can start winning games like this that improves your conference record. And start climbing up the leaderboard, if you will, on AFC wildcard teams. Very, very good game in Cincinnati, or at least a lot of implications are on the line for this game in Cincinnati. Now, how about the Browns and the Jaguars? The Browns are in the same position. They're 7-5. They've got their starting quarterback out. They're trying to hang on for dear life, like the Steelers are, without Kenny Pickett and without Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. So the three division opponents in the AFC North all dealing with quarterback problems. Jacksonville may have one and they may not have one. Like, the reports are that Trevor Lawrence might play.
Yeah.
So he might try to play his way through this. God bless him at 8-4.
I would say they don't have a comfortable
lead in their division.
Now, I do want to interrupt the program real quick with this, all right? Because Al Saunders, who used to coach the Browns, called into a Cleveland radio show to say Joe Flacco is the solution.
Joe Flacco is the solution.
Yeah, at quarterback.
Are they wacko for Flacco in Cleveland?
I think there's, well, at least one person is. But I loved what this one author of this article put. He said, yeah, just like Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thomas Robinson, PJ Walker, Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield, Case Keenum, the list goes on and on. And I am impressed with how many quarterbacks are on here. I didn't realize that. I forgot. Doug Peterson was a quarterback of the Browns.
Yeah, Doug Peterson was a quarterback. Yeah. Great.
And now he's coaching against his former team.
It really is amazing they have not been able to find one has been the guy.
I mean, Baker Mayfield had the longest stay. But
Baker Mayfield was supposed to be the answer to it all.
Yeah. And he looked it.
Yeah. Number one overall pick. Got him to the playoffs. Everything. And quickly gone. Not going to be around here anymore.
No.
But again, Trevor Lawrence could play. By the way, the Jaguars are 5-0 on the road this season. That's a very, very good record. You think 8-4, you're going to win some road games. Didn't think you'd win all of your road games. How about the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints? Yuck, yuck, yuck. The Saints, here's the deal. Don't get trapped. You're 5-7. You've lost 3 in a row. Don't get trapped with the Carolina Panthers team that's playing for pride. Don't get trapped. Win the game because you've got to keep up with the Buccaneers and the Falcons. Because like the Buccaneers, the Saints are one game back in the division. The Saints have a very good chance to make the postseason, but they don't get trapped in a bad football team like the Carolina Panthers.
Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm not expecting I'm expecting the answer to go a certain way. But who would you, if you're a Saints fan, who would you rather see get the ball this week, Carr or Winston?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sold on Carr as much as other people.
Yeah.
But I've always liked Winston. He's erratic
when
like
he's,
hell. But
when
he's,
he
he's,
is on?
When he's on, he's great.
He's amazing.
He throws a very good football. He's crazy. He throws to the other team, which they tell me is bad in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Right? But
and he does it a lot.
He does it a lot. But when he's on, he's got that sharpness to his throw.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, let's get to the Jets and the sorry about that. I was taking a drink. The Jets and the Texans. The Jets are 4-6. Zach Wilson is back at quarterback for the Jets. The Texans are 7-5, and the Texans, again, like the Indianapolis Colts, they're breathing right there on the Jacksonville Jaguars' neck for the division. Now, again, the Jets are playing in that pride position at home. Again, if you're Houston, don't get trapped up in this. Don't get caught up. Get your job done. Don't get quirky with their defense. But, again, this is what I like about Week 14. We talk about these games, and now we are talking about why they are very, very valuable to the playoff picture. And the Texans are right there in the playoff picture at 7-5. The Jets are not at 4-8, but that defense can cause enough problems, especially for a rookie quarterback, that could keep them in the game. But how many times is Zach Wilson going to get was this his fourth chance, third chance?
This season.
This season.
You're just talking about this season alone.
Just this season alone. Remember, this season he started benched for Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
Then became the starter, then was benched for Tim Boyle, now is back as being the starter. Like, well, wasn't there a period of time? No, there was another period of time where they were hating on him, and then he rallied, and then he been back. It's been a really wild roller coaster season.
It really has been. I mean, I feel for the kid just in that sense that, you know, it's just what a season for him to have.
Right.
You know, this was supposed to be the season where, hey, okay, sit behind a legendary quarterback and learned.
Right.
And he got four plays.
That's it. That is it. All right, how about the Ravens and the Rams? The Rams, all right, look, do I think they're going to go to Baltimore and beat Baltimore? No. Do I think they can beat Baltimore? Yeah, they've won three straight. They're playing
bizarre.
Pretty good right now. They're finding things that are clicking for them. They're a little beat up. They seem to be banged up all the time, with, you know, whether it's Cooper Kupp in and out or whatnot. The Ravens at 9-3 are coming off the bye week, I think they had last week.
Yeah.
So the bye week, they lead a division that is in complete turmoil underneath them with all the quarterbacks in and out. But Rams can be sneaky good. I just think it's too far of a trip. But don't discount this game. That's what I'm saying. Don't blow off the Rams at 6-6. They're playing really good. They may have feasted on some weaker opponents, but you know they've won three straight. But the Ravens, that's the team I think is right now. I think them and Miami are playing the best in the AFC right now.
I couldn't agree more. You know, but it is weird. It's a bizarre team in the Rams where if they come out as the winner in this game Sunday, you're not gonna be like, oh my God, that's an amazing upset. We wouldn't think that.
No, you wouldn't think that. And here's the funny thing. I mean, this is, again, everyone knows the history of the Rams. They put all the chips in the center of the table. They won the Super Bowl. But now the chips have to be paid off. And now you think if they can squeeze into the postseason, and they're not that far off. If they can squeeze into the postseason, look, they're not going to beat San Francisco. They're not going to beat, you know, the Eagles or Dallas or whatever. But at least it's an accomplishment for an organization that thought it was going to be pretty lean, mm-hmm. after winning the Lombardi Trophy. Win enough games, get into the tournament, see what you can do.
See what happens.
See what happens, and then build on that. So, Vikings and Raiders. This is another one. Same kind of thing. It does look like Josh Dobbs is starting, right?
That's where it's trending.
So that's the report. That's where it's trending.
Yeah.
Raiders better get off the horse. I mean, get on the horse here and get moving towards 5-7. Get moving. If you want to make a run at this, it's open. If you want to make a run at this, you've got to get into the party. Right now, you're on the outside. Right now, you're in the waiting line, waiting for the bouncer to let you in, and he's looking funny at you because he doesn't really think you could be an asset to what's going on in the club. That's the Raiders right now. But the Vikings, very much alive in the NFC playoff picture.
The Call with Tony D and Ron Colbert continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Colbert.
All right, switch to Cricket today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 SG. After all, you've been good this year, and they think you really, really deserve it. Smile! You're on Cricket. All right, we're going over the NFL schedule as we continue along in Week 14. We left off with the Raiders and the Vikings. I know we caught up to the break. Any thoughts on that one? Josh Dobbs may start. Aiden O'Connell continues to be the quarterback of the Raiders. Antonio Pierce is still trying to hopefully get Mark Davis to hire him full-time when the season's over. Yeah.
I think you should. The Raiders have looked different the last couple of weeks anyways.
They have. They've lost a few games, but they fought well against Miami. They'd won two in a row, then got a good fight against Miami.
They're happy. They're not doing those embarrassing things that I saw under Josh McDaniels. So.
I agree. The Niners against the Seahawks, that game on Fox. And if you're the Seahawks, you're basically fighting for, again, it's 6-6. There's a bunch of other 6-6 teams like the Rams and the Vikings and the Packers. Like, you got to start separating yourself a little bit because the NFC, unlike the AFC, one wild card spot has already been sort of semi-claimed between either the Eagles or the Cowboys. Those two teams have got very good records. One of them is going to win the division. One of them is going to take the top wild card spot. So you're really fighting for two with a bunch of 6-6 teams. That's why that loss against the Cowboys was really, really bad. The Niners are trying to get the number one seed overall and get that first round bye. This is going to be at Levi's Stadium. The Niners are a fun show. The Seahawks, they're going to have to figure out one way to stop them, but everyone's been trying and no one's been able to figure it out.
See, earlier I said, when I mentioned that the Rams, we wouldn't be like, oh my God, what an upset if the Rams took care of the Ravens.
Right.
We'll probably say that if the Seahawks were to annihilate the Niners.
If they were to beat the Niners substantially, yes.
Yeah.
If they win 21-20, it would be like, eh.
Yeah, if they get a last second field goal just because they were able to get in the right position at the right time, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'd be okay with that, but yeah. I mean, it's either close or going the Niners' way completely.
The next game, you never know how a season is going to go, and you never know when the window is going to start to close. This used to be the marquee AFC game. Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. It was a date you would circle, you would kind of look at, you would think it was an AFC championship preview. Whatever it is you wanted to say, the last 5 years or so, whenever these two teams met, it was always for something. On two occasions, it was the playoffs, and other games, it was for a feeling of who was really the supreme team in the AFC. Not now. The Chiefs are struggling. They've lost three of their last five, but they're still 8-4 on top of their division. It's the Bills. The Bills are 6-6, and they're coming off their bye week, and they better figure out a way to get in this conversation. That's why I said last night was a big deal. Bills fans, you now have a Steeler team ahead of you that is falling backwards. Catch momentum and get into this. Unfortunately, they don't give you more points for beating the Chiefs than they would against, like, the Patriots. And you would hope that they would, but they don't. So, unfortunately, the Bills would only get one win over Kansas City Arrowhead instead of, like, I don't know, three. You know?
I know we don't like to use, you know, the must-win analogy, but this is as close to get.
I think it is for the Bills. I really do. I think it's 6-7.
And the problem is this. The problem is this. The Chiefs need to win as well.
Yeah.
You know, they've been slipping lately and, you know, allowing a team like Denver to kind of creep up on them. They don't have like they're not running away with the AFC. They need to keep winning in order to, you know, try to get that number one seed so they get that first round bye.
Yeah. I mean, again, when you are allowing just one team to get the bye, it's good. What they did when they created the number only one team getting the first round bye, they pretty much guaranteed, outside of an anomalous season, they pretty much guaranteed that everybody will play 17 games. Like, nobody's going to dump out in the 17th game and just dump everybody. It means that you're likely to get a fight to the very, very end for that one. Whereas when we had two, you'd have one team like, we already wrapped up the one. There may be a fight for the second, but whatever.
Yeah, we could lose and have a tying record, but since our head-to-head was like, we're already in.
Yeah, and the Chiefs, again, the last five AFC title games have run through Arrowhead.
But we will complain that, you know what, two teams should have a bye in the first round.
Yeah, we always do. Broncos and Chargers, again, Broncos are really interesting because, again, they won five straight before losing to Houston last week. But Russell Wilson had four interceptions. It was the one thing we talked about going into the Houston game. We said, look, the one thing Russell Wilson is really doing well is he's protecting the football. And he's doing everything right. Well, against the Texans, he threw three picks. So that quickly got skewed to, hey, this guy can go off the rail as quickly as he can be on it. And now Bronco fans are wondering, are we getting the old Russell Wilson back? The guy who makes careless throws. Just in time for the stretch run. And if you're the Chargers, like the Raiders, it's horse time. Get on it and run.
Yeah.
Get into this party.
For all you fantasy football players out there, you're forewarned that Josh Kelly may end up getting a lot more snaps due to Austin Eckler's ineffectiveness to run.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm worried about this game. I really am.
Broncos' defense has played a lot better. Yeah.
I mean, we only were able to get 6 against New England.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means for us against Denver.
Well, your Sunday night game is the doozy. It's the Cowboys and the Eagles. I disagree with a lot of national pundits who say this is a must-win for Dak. I just want to get to the playoffs, and then we can have a conversation about Dak's must-win status.
Yes.
Get
to the postseason. Must-win. But this is a needed win for Dak.
It's the psychological must-win that I was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, it's a win the Cowboys need, because the narrative of them so far is that, you only beat one team that's over 500.
Right. But against the Eagles, he had one of his better games, and they lost. And they lost because in the final plays, they were inept. They had a penalty. They had a sack. They went from first and 5 from the 6 to having first and 31. I mean, it was ridiculous how far back they were. I think it was actually 26. They needed 26 yards or something like that. It was crazy. But nevertheless, and the Eagles, I hate to say this, but they've been vulnerable all year. They've been able to win games. Teams have taken their shots at them. And then finally the 49ers did and blew them out. I don't know if that opens a door for the Cowboys, but the Cowboys have won 14 straight at home, 6-0 this season at home. They are putting up a ton of points. And so this is going to be a doozy. Now, I've said this before about Dallas on Sunday night, and they have let me down. So I'm hoping that's not the case.
Very true.
This weekend. All right, 2 games on Monday Night Football.
Which is dumb, by the way.
Dumb, by the way, especially they're on at the same exact time.
Yeah, I don't mind 2 games on football on a Monday night. Just stagger them, please.
Yeah, just give me, like... Start the second one in the first half of the first one.
We brought this up yesterday. Why are we having 2 East Coast home teams? Why couldn't we have thrown Seattle, San Francisco, or Denver, L.A.?
Right.
Have
exactly.
A West Coast team start at, say, 8:15. Have the other game start at 6:15. You know, both Eastern times. Then you got to figure it out.
I think the answer is cumulative ratings for both of these games is just as good for ESPN, ABC.
I guess
as
so.
If, you know what I mean? It's like... Look, we'll take 2 games. Even if they're split, we're still going to get the cumulative East Coast audience.
Now,
is still going to be large enough to make it worth
our while. In all fairness to all 4 of these teams, wouldn't you rather have Tennessee at Miami on ABC as opposed to Green Bay Giants?
Yeah, I would. I would. I think that as much as I like the way the Packers are playing right now, the Giants, even though Tommy DeVito's a fun story, they're still not a very good football team.
Yeah.
That's still not a good team. And I get it's a New York market. I completely understand. But the Dolphins are a very fun football team, a real blast. And I love the way they get showcased, especially when it's raining in Washington and they're still able to do some awesome things. They're 5-0 at home. The Titans are 0-6 on the road. I mean, take that for what it is. And the Packers have been playing really well. Jordan Love has been very good with the football. They have won 4 of their last 5 games. Again, the youngest team in the NFL. People are feeling good about the Packers. They may make a run to the playoffs. The Giants are not. I'm with you. I would have had the Titans. I think the Titans-Dolphins game should have been the more ABC game. But I get how media works.
Yeah. It's because it's a New York market.
Yeah, that's it. That's the reason.
Thing too, so.
That's the reason. So there you have it. That's our week 14. The 2 teams that are on bye weeks are the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders. Are we done with bye weeks now?
I think this is it.
I think this is it.
I think after this, there's no more byes.
Yeah, I'm looking at week 15 really quick, and there are nobody on bye week. So this is the last weekend for that. So take your rest when you can get it, kids, because now we hit the stretch run of the final 5 games of the season / 4 games if you're on the bye week. That's week 14 of the National Football League. So, again, with the Steelers losing last night, it opens up the floodgates for what could be happening in the AFC. If the Steelers had won last night, you'd have a different conversation of teams that are like, I got to keep pace with the Steelers, can't let teams behind me catch up, I don't want to be 7-6. If they're 7-6 and the Steelers are, 8-5, it's a whole different kind of conversation. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, Ron with 2 N's. Glad you could join us on a Football Friday.
We'll be right back.